We're continuing our series, Doubt, and I've said this is a very complex topic. And today what I want us to do is to consider why, as followers of Jesus Christ, I think sometimes unintentionally and perhaps intentionally, we cause people to doubt their faith. And through the years, one of the biggest complaints that I've heard, and this is really the church at large, is that the church is narrow-minded, it's judgmental, and it's hypocritical. And sadly, people doubt God because Christ followers claim one thing, but then live another way. I mean, have you ever noticed that? Yeah. And what we're going to do today is shift the focus a little bit this morning and talk about how we create doubt in the world. And I'm going to challenge you, if you're a Christ follower, I'm going to challenge you to take a little bit of responsibility and suggest to you that sometimes, as followers of Jesus Christ, we get things wrong. You know, we are inconsistent, we're judgmental, hypocritical, and that we actually deserve some of the world's critique. And perhaps, just maybe, with a little bit of soul searching, with the help of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can live out our faith in a much better way. And so I invite you to do a little bit of personal deconstruction about what you say you believe and how you live, so that you can let go of some of the inconsistencies in your life and grasp the truth of God, grasp that transforming power that the Holy Spirit promises in Jesus Christ. And so what I want to do is expose some of the inconsistencies, why they exist, that these inconsistencies that are creating doubt, that are casting so much doubt into the world. There are way too many people who claim to be Christ followers. They claim, hey, I'm all about Jesus and the faith, but their actions, what they say and do, indicate something very, very different. And it creates confusion. It creates doubt. In fact, it even creates anger. And I'm sure you've noticed it. I have. And, you know, it's that thing where somebody posts, you know, and they're always posting a Bible verse on social media. They do it on a regular basis. And then they go and party all weekend, you know, and get drunk and just do all kinds of crazy things. Or they've been posting these Bible verses and how important God is, and then they post something that's vulgar, that's hate-filled. And, friends, I look at that, and it's just baffling to me. You know, or maybe a boss or a coworker, and they're always telling you about their faith and how important the faith is, and then they just disrespect everybody that they work with, you know, or perhaps someone who regularly is pointing out, making a big deal out of immoral behavior, and then it's found out, well, they got a problem with porn. You know, maybe it's a pastor that you've followed or you've looked up to, and then they get exposed because they're not living the life that they claim they were living. And friends, it is heartbreaking, and it is confusing, and it's problematic. You know, it's a little bit like I saw a post for a health club, and the main reason you go to a health club is what? To get in shape and stay in shape. And this health club, they were promoting all the pizza, free pizza you could eat on Fridays. I'm like, seems a little counterintuitive here, you know. Yeah, I think I shared this before. This happened a while back, but I was pulling out of my subdivision, and I misjudged how fast the car was coming, and I pulled out and thought I was fine. They were probably 25, 30 miles over the speed limit, and they got up behind me. I mean, they're tailgating me. They're honking their horn, and so I'm trying to communicate, because I realize I pulled out, so I'm trying to communicate to them, you know, my bad, sorry, And they just got up behind me. I mean, it got really uncomfortable, blared their horn for like two blocks. Finally, they whip out around me. They get ahead, the light changes. So we're sitting there, now I'm behind them. And this guy, I mean, he's going crazy. He's got his hand out the window, he's flipping me the number one sign, and he's cussing. You could just see, I mean, he's coming undone. And I'm reading the back of his car, he's got all these stickers, Joy FM. You know, several other Christian things, advertising a local church, and even had a license plate, you know, PSALM, you know, 3. That wasn't it, by the way. I did think about it. I thought, well, maybe I'll just share their license plate with you. Seemed my duty as a pastor, but I thought you might know them, or they might be here, you know, so... And here's my point. If you are sporting Christian stuff on your car, wearing t-shirts that claim your faith, you should not give people the number one sign ever, you know. Especially when people make mistakes. It is confusing, it's problematic, and the fact is, we say one thing, and then we do something totally, totally different. And in this world that's full of people who are searching, who need Jesus Christ, they need God in their life. In fact, there are people that want to believe in God. But they look at people who say that they love God and they serve God, who are saying one thing and are doing something totally different. And it leaves a lot of questions. It creates a lot of tension, and it creates a lot of doubt. And tragically, for some people, when they think about church, they think about scandals, abuse, corruption, hypocrisy, judgment, and hate. There's something wrong with that. You know, Scripture says this in John 1:14. He says, the Word, it's talking about Jesus, by the way, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Jesus came full of grace and truth. And it makes me wonder, why do so many Christians seem to be full of hate and lies? You know, one of the greatest causes of atheism, secularism, it may be because Christ followers, we claim one thing and we do something totally different. You know, we claim one thing with our lips, but the reality is, we deny Christ by our lifestyle and what we do. And friends, I'll tell you, the world looks on in disgust with that. And so, if you've experienced some things that have left you a little perplexed, maybe hurt you, disappointed you, disillusioned you, you've had followers that you looked up to, who are inconsistent and don't live like Jesus, if you're bothered by that, well, just know you're not alone. And just FYI, Jesus didn't like it either. And in fact, if you look at the Gospels, Jesus never spoke more harshly than he did to religious people who were hypocrites. You know, Jesus despised hypocritical behavior. You know why? Because it's destructive. You know, in fact, Jesus unleashed one day on the Pharisees. It's recorded in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. He said, kind of known by theologians as the seven woes. And I'd encourage you to read the whole chapter this week. It's a good read. But seven times Jesus says, woe to those who claim one thing and live something else. And here's kind of cliff notes for you. It's woe to you hypocrites who teach about the love of God, but you don't truly love people. You know, woe to you hypocrites who say honesty is really important, but according to the situation, well, you're not always truthful. You know, woe to you hypocrites who emphasize certain laws and ignore things that are much more important, like mercy and justice and faithfulness. You know, woe to you hypocrites that play pick and choose according to what works for you. Woe to you hypocrites who claim that you know and love God, but you take advantage of the poor, those less fortunate. I'm going to focus in on one woe here. Jesus says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like a whitewashed tomb, which looks beautiful, you know, on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones and dead and everything unclean. You're putting on a show. You're full of a lot of ungodliness. You're pretending that you're something you're not. You know, if you read the entire account, Jesus, he gets up in the grill of the religious leaders, and he raises a very intense question. He says, you snakes, you brood of vipers, here's the question. How will you escape being condemned to hell? I read that, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, so how do you really feel about this, you know? It's like, ouch, ouch. I mean, you find that word hypocrite 17 times in the Bible. Every single time Jesus used a very different word. It was a secular word. And that word for hypocrite, he meant literally to be mask wearers. It was used in the Greek plays. You know, hypocrites were actors. They were actors, and they would wear different masks. And so you would have an actor, they'd have a mask up, they'd pretend to be someone, and then a little bit later in the play, they'd change masks. And so they'd pretend to be someone else. And Jesus says, you know, when you give to be seen, well, guess what? You're a hypocrite. You know, when you fast to impress the people around you, you're a hypocrite. You know, when you act like you're generous, but you take advantage of people, you're a hypocrite. And if you carefully read Scripture, it's very interesting. Jesus doesn't call out the sin. He calls out the play acting. He calls out being an imposter is the bigger issue. You ever get frustrated by people that claim one thing but do something else? Do you? Sure we do. No pointing, but we do. Jesus got frustrated with it. Friends, why do so many Christ followers get it wrong on this one? Well, first of all, I think we gotta realize right away there are people who claim to be Christian that aren't really Christians. You know, Titus, scripture says this, they claim to know God, but their actions, they deny him. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You know, attending a Bible study does not make you a Christ follower. You know, even believing in God does not make you a Christ follower. You know, sometimes so-called Christians hurt people. They do and say things that are horrible. You know why? Because they're not really Christ followers. They just say it. And I think another reason this is so difficult is not everybody is mature. Some people are young in their faith, and that's okay. You just can't stay there. You know, the Hebrew writer says this, for some who live on milk are still an infant. They don't know much. They don't know how to do what's right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Some Christ followers are immature. They're inconsistent. Sometimes they say the wrong things. They do the wrong things. Why? Because they're still developing. They're still learning. You know, they're still growing in their faith. And so if that's you, it's okay. You work your way through. In fact, most of us can look back at things we've said and done when you were young in your faith. And now you look back and you go, what was I thinking? If you ever been there? Yeah. Yeah, you grow up. You know, I didn't realize it was wrong at the time. I didn't know it was such a big deal. But I've got to ask you this, Christ followers. Are you growing in your faith? You absolutely should be able to look back, and as you look at your life, you can see progression. You can see change. You should be able to see growth and maturity. And if not, something's wrong. And just FYI, it is your responsibility to put in the work so that you grow. Nobody can make you grow. If you are not growing, you have chosen not to grow. Nobody's keeping you from it. Anyway, we need to understand that some people are inconsistent because they're immature, still growing in their faith. You know, we're still trying to develop our faith and figure it out. And another reason, even the most faithful mess up. We all mess up from time to time. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, you're a mess. That brought a lot of joy, didn't it? We mess up. We give in to temptation. We do the wrong things sometimes. We say the wrong things. You know, we step off the path and we end up hurting ourselves or we hurt other people. And friends, our spiritual enemy, you know, Satan, he's sly. He is a tricky one. He wants to get you messed up, not only so that you hurt yourself, but he wants to damage Christianity. He wants to damage your witness so that nobody listening to you, and no matter how mature you are still vulnerable to messing up in sin. And if you think you're not vulnerable, well, you're actually more vulnerable. You're more susceptible to temptation. Scripture says pride comes before what? A fall. We all fall short from time to time. We all mess up. We all let people down once in a while. And here's the issue when we mess up, I think. If you're like most, you mess up, you kind of brush it off, don't you? That's not a big deal. You know, I was under a lot of pressure when that happened. You know, they took me wrong. You know, I was just having a really bad day, bad week, bad year, bad decade. But when someone else messes up, falls short, ooh, they're bad. Bad, 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 bad. They are a hypocrite. Oh, my. Which raises a question for me. Who's the hypocrite? I mean, we brush off our shortcomings, no big deal. And we deal with other people's shortcomings, and well, it's a serious deal. Somebody got to take notice of this. Friends, when you and I sin, and we will from time to time, God is not shocked. In fact, God knows we're prone to sin. we are born with a sinful nature. You know, Scripture says this, says, for he knows how weak we are. You know, we give in to peer pressure. We give in to temptation. We give in and do selfish things. We tend to take the easy way sometimes. God knows that we are weak. He remembers we are only what? Dust. Dust. Chances are, if you're around here long enough, at some point, grab your seats, I'm going to let you down. Just count on it. I'll say something you don't like. I'll mess up. I'll drop the ball. I'll say something that maybe theologically you disagree with. The fact is, when that happens, just remember, I'm dust. I'm potting soil. And so are you. There's a story in the book of Acts about Paul and Barnabas, and they're effectively preaching and teaching and ministering, and things are rolling along, and so they're spreading the word. And it says, so the Lord's message spreads throughout the region. Then the Jews stir up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incite a mob against Paul and Barnabas, and they run them out of town. So the Jews stir everybody up in the church, the influential men and women, leaders, Christ followers, people that were looked up to in the community. And those Christians mess up. They incite a mob. They persecute Paul and Barnabas, run them out of town. Good people get led astray, and they hurt Paul and Barnabas. And it's interesting, Paul and Barnabas, they don't quit the church. They don't leave the faith. They don't call everybody a bunch of hypocrites. They don't fixate on the offense, which is often what people do when they get hurt. But what do? Well, Scripture says, so they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium. And the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Some of you have been hurt by people. And I am not going to minimize your hurt, because I get it. I get it. But at some point, you got to shake the dust off. You got to come to a point where you go, you know what? They disappointed me. They lied to me. You know, she hurt me. He offended me. Whatever. And I know it may take a lot of shaking. May take a lot of praying, maybe some counseling, maybe some introspection. And in fact, maybe it means humbling yourself before God and saying, help me through this, so that you can shake it off and let it go. You know, that's God's desire for you, that whatever it is, you shake it off and let it go. And here's what I want to say. You know, if you've been hurt by the church at large, maybe you've been hurt here. You know, maybe a few Christ followers said something, did something that offended you. In fact, maybe you got some disdain for hypocrisy that you found. Well, I'd apologize to you for that. I realize the church is large, has not always gotten it right. I know Christ followers that claim one thing, do something totally different. I know Christ followers, they talk all about the grace and the love of Jesus, and yet, honestly, they're just arrogant, harsh, unkind, hateful, hurtful. And I will tell you, it's not right. It's not God-honoring, and it is not what Jesus wants. And friends, it's just a sad deal. But remember this, we are all hypocrites. One way or another, somewhere along the line, all of us, all of us. Now, you may be going, well, I'm the exception. If you are, you catch me after service. I will help you find your hypocrisy. We'll get a notebook out, maybe two. No one is perfect. No one, no one, no one. When you mess up, and you will, I do, you own it, you repent, you ask for forgiveness. If somebody got hurt, you go to them and you apologize and you reboot. Hear me, Christ followers. It is more important to be loving than to be right. Let that sink in a little bit. More important to be loving than to be right. It's more important to forgive than to hold a grudge. It's really important for yourself. You know, you get hurt the worst in that one. It is more important to say, I'm sorry, I should have done better, than to try and justify or blame someone else. Paul writes this. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. If you've lost your passion or your faith in Jesus because of other people, friends, can I suggest to you that your faith is in people then, when it really should be in Jesus? And if you're doubting God because of what someone said, someone did, just shake the dust off and focus on Jesus. Let it go. Jesus will never, ever, ever, ever let you down. When it comes to hypocrisy, can I suggest to all of us, instead of pointing it out and everybody else, ooh, look what they did. Did you hear that? Yeah. Can I encourage you to just ask the Holy Spirit to confront you, convict you, and show you where you have hypocrisy in your life? Show you where you need to change? Again, we're not perfect. Never have been. See, I hear a choir of angels. They're cheering us on. You know, we're not where we're going, but hopefully, we're a long, long way from where we've been. You know, we keep pressing on. We keep going strong. There's no doubt about it. That's God's desire for us. And I have said numerous times, I long for this church to be a place of grace and love. You know, so that when people look at this church or they meet somebody from this church, they go, wow, they're different. I want what they got. They walk what they talk. You know, John says this. Jesus goes, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if what? If you love one another. The world won't know we're his disciples by our theology. They won't know it by our building, by our worship style, by even what we claim and say. They will know we're disciples of Jesus Christ if we love one another and we love the people around us, period. There is no but there. There's no, well, what about? No. We love those around us. At work, the guy that pulls out in front of you, person that annoys you, school, wherever, they will know we're disciples of Jesus Christ by the way we love. We need to be people that do that. So, let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. And we praise you by the way we live, the way we love. God, forgive us those times when we say one thing and do something totally different. Those times we mess up, we sin. But God, help us to examine ourselves and live the faith that you've called us to live. God, as we go to work, to school, into our neighborhoods, may we show people that we follow you because of the way we love them. Help us to be that. Give us the courage and the strength to do that. Help us to honor and praise you with all we say and do. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to worship and make some noise here. Prayer teams will be down front. You need prayer this morning. Come down and let them pray with you.